Hear these words from the second chapter of Luke. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child in, to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and praying night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Most gracious and loving God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this very hour. Lord God, as I stand before these, your people, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together be acceptable unto you, for you are our rock, you are our Redeemer. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Agreements, oaths, pledges, or vows, we've all made them. Whether to love, respect, and be faithful to a spouse or partner, to cherish, nurture, discipline, and provide for a child, to respect, hold dear, and always keep a friend's secrets, or as a child to be obedient, to do our very best, and to always share, we have all made promises. As the people of God, we have promised to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. However, there have been times when we have all fallen short and not kept the promises we've pledged to keep. It has been said that promises are made to be broken, that some promises are too good to be true, and Mark Twain even said that it's better a promise broken than none at all. However, I don't believe that anyone ever makes a promise with their fingers crossed behind their back, intentionally planning to mislead or just outright lie to another. I'm glad that as the people of God, we have the assurance that the promises of God are yes and amen, and we can trust that when God makes a promise, it will be fulfilled. Imagine my surprise yesterday when I opened the local section of the Post Gazette and saw an article entitled, "Promise Fulfilled." The article told the story of five African-American men in their early 20s who met at the age of 4 at a Northside Community Center. The article stated that they sealed their friendship over basketball and homework and forged a common direction that defies stereotypes. These young men had an unspoken agreement that they were going to graduate high school and college. Each of the 5 has kept and fulfilled their promise to one another. They've held one another accountable. They all graduated college and are employed and now giving back to their community by volunteering and mentoring others. Each of the young men spoke of the importance of the support, encouragement, and accountability they held one another to not just survive, but to strive and to see to fruition the promise they had made to one another over 20 years ago. In our passage today, God's promises are indeed fulfilled. God's promise to never leave nor forsake, God's promise of everlasting grace and mercy, God's promise of loving kindness and faithfulness, and God's promise to send a Messiah are all manifested in the birth of Jesus, the Christ child. Luke gives us a rare glimpse into the childhood of Jesus. Rare because the Gospels are not a chronological biography, for in them we learn very little about Jesus' youth beyond his conception and birth. The Gospels are primarily charismatic narratives proclaiming the good news, recorded to undergird and strengthen our faith. However, the Gospel of Luke substantiates and illustrates the fact that Jesus was indeed born a Jew of Jews, living under the law of Moses. Paul concurs, as Jean read, stating in Galatians 4, Jesus was born of woman and born under the law so that he might redeem those who were born under the law. God promised Israel a Messiah would come and be their salvation, freeing them from the bondage of sin, both committed by and against them. God's promise was fulfilled in the birth of the Christ child, but just not in the way in which the people expected. The circumstances of Jesus' conception and birth were completely opposite of what was anticipated or expected by the Jewish religious leaders of the day. Brothers and sisters, the move of God is often revolutionary. A young woman is overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and gives birth to the Savior of the world. Shepherds minding their flocks by night receive the angel of the Lord who tells them of the Messiah's birth in the town of Bethlehem, and they find him sleeping in a manger. 5 African-American young men holding one another accountable and desiring more than society's expectations for them, completing college, gainfully employed, and now volunteering in the very community that nurtured and molded them. All of these are promises fulfilled. The faithfulness of Mary and Joseph are exemplified in the Gospel of Luke. They were devoted Jews, obedient to and fulfilling both their civic and sacred responsibilities, traveling to Bethlehem to be counted in the census in spite of Mary being great with child, fulfilling their civic responsibility, which resulted in the fulfillment of prophecy and promise. The Messiah from the house of David was to be born in Bethlehem. God protected and kept Mary and Joseph as they traveled. When turned away at the inn, God provided humble accommodations for them to rest and the child to be born. Later, traveling to the temple to fulfill their sacred responsibility of Mary's purification and the dedication of their son to God, the reception of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus is diametrically opposite of how they were received in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph could have very well made the decision to give up on their sacred responsibility because it would have cost them daily resources needed to survive. Yet they remained committed to the rituals of their faith and made the trip to the temple. Many are like Jesus' family living with and among us today, observant and obedient to the commands of God, yet financially strained and marginalized, with inadequate resources or means to acquire necessities, much less some of their wants, lacking the skills, example, history, or knowledge needed to navigate, let alone break into what is sometimes a closed structure of societal success. Yet God's faithfulness, hallelujah, opens closed doors. God's faithfulness softens hardened hearts, and God's faithfulness makes ways out of no ways. God's promises are always fulfilled. Just as Mary, Joseph, and the child entered the temple, Simeon, a seasoned man of faith with a deep relationship with God, a priest who had been anticipating the consolation, the promise of Israel all of his days, recognizes Jesus as God's anointed Messiah. And guided by the Holy Spirit, Simeon, with the frailties of old age draped over him, tenderly and lovingly cradles the infant in his arms. This most wanted child, the hope of the ages, the yearning of his entire life, this baby, God's shrewdest device, was the promise of God fulfilled. Simeon could now die in peace, calmly, confidently. Yet Simeon's God-appointed work was not concluded. He warns Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and raising of many, and your soul will be pierced." As with the birth of every child, we anticipate joys and sorrows, disappointments as well as pride. Yet Simeon's warning was ominous. And as he made his pronouncement, Anna, great with age, a prophet who had dedicated her life to continual worship, fasting, and prayer in the temple, enters and begins to praise God for the one she too has awaited. Just a child, but hardly safe, hardly harmless. The promise fulfilled that provoked and still provokes a crisis for all people of every generation, both Jew and Gentile, to follow this child and know the fullness of God's love, the fulfillment of God's promise, or to reject him and ultimately fall. How we respond to this child, this one person, decides everything. Brothers and sisters, the promises of God are evident each and every day. Yet we often grow weary in waiting and well-doing. We sometimes become impatient and try to become the designers of our own destiny. Some have said that religion is the opiate for the masses, a panacea for the weak-minded. But I contend that there was nothing weak about Mary and Joseph and their conviction to be obedient to God, even when doing so was socially inappropriate, physically difficult, and financially restrictive. Neither Simeon nor Anna grew weary, even in their old age. They did not grow tired waiting for the promise of God to be fulfilled. They continued daily in prayer, meditation, and worship. As we consider this year that is about to come to a close, we have been witness to many devastating things. Children who have been kidnapped, killed, maimed, and murdered. Disease running rampant throughout the continent of Africa. Murder in our own streets and neighborhoods. The abuse of women and men alike. And yet, God's promises remain. It is possible for us to become discouraged about the injustice, violence, need, and ungodliness we sometimes witness. But God did not promise us that the world would be humane and just. God did not promise that we would not suffer setbacks or disappointments. God promised that we are not to fear, for God has redeemed us, called us by name, and we belong to God. And God has promised that when we pass through the waters, God will be with us, and the rivers shall not overwhelm us. When we walk through the fire, we shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume us. For the Lord our God, the Holy One of Israel, is our Savior, the consolation of God's people has come. And that, beloved, is a promise fulfilled. Amen.
Now is the time we have the privilege to come before our God in prayer. I ask that you assume a prayer posture that is most comfortable for you to reach out to God, to be open to God, as we do this time. Let us be a people of prayer. Creator, who came to us as a child. Redeemer, who showed us how to live in your light. Sustainer, who breathes life into us each day. We again call upon you, who created us to live in relationship with you and with one another. Lord, as we walk this journey, we acknowledge that we are broken and seek wholeness. We need your patience and your guidance. We need your blessing. Today we call upon you to be ever present in the lives of the people of this congregation and in our communities, the communities of East Liberty, of Pittsburgh, of Pennsylvania, of the United States, and our global community of sisters and brothers. You are the God of all people and all creation. Have mercy upon us as we seek to live into your will. Lord, bless those who are broken in body or spirit. Today we remember Sheila, Matt, Sue, Zyla, Andrea, Gary, and Sandy, along with others from our congregation. We ask you to surround the Martinelli family and all those who mourn with your love. Bless those who lack sufficient resources, whether sufficient housing, adequate food, suitable health care, or needed love. We lift up to you those who live on our streets or go to bed hungry. Lord, bless those who are denied your justice and your love. We lift up to you today those that are not always fully valued by the church. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. Immigrants. Individuals experiencing mental health issues. Those who are incarcerated. People of other faith traditions. And even those we consider enemies. We know your love is for those who we are challenged to love. And your love is deep and merciful for them as it is for us. Open our hearts so that we may love more like you. Living God, intervene in our broken relationships and institutions. Heal us. Make us whole. Hold us close during this season when we are reminded that you are with us always. For long after the angels disappeared into the heavens, the shepherds returned to their flocks, the magi return home, and the great star sets, Jesus remains. The child in whom we rediscover your great love for humanity, he becomes the adult redeemer who challenges us to imitate his selflessness and compassion in order that we might transform our world in love. May we allow the miracle of Christmas to continue long after the holiday trappings have been packed away. May we welcome the adult Messiah and his challenging gospel to recreate our lives, making the peace, justice, and hope of this holy season a reality in every season of the year. Loving God, we boldly come before you and ask all these things, knowing you hear us. We put our faith in you. We pray this prayer in the name of the one who you sent to us this very season to fulfill your promise of love, Jesus the Christ. It is in his name we pray, saying these words that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and the glory forever. Amen.